Well, you always give people a lift, don't you? Yep. Whereabouts are you? Cool. I'll see you in a second then. Bye bye.
Sounds like anybody, they're themselves, and it's because they come from beyond the wall and go inside behind it, which to me is a truest, purest form of artist, and it gives bands permission to, and all people permission to be themselves, you know, and go that far inside and not be afraid of doing it, and to me, that's God.
John, stuff he writes gets a little deeper for him because it's, you know, real emotional when he gets into it.
People come up to me and ask about the name, and it seems to me that everybody has their own cool story.
I went to a high school that I played band for the age of 15. Yeah, and I did that in high school. And I got involved in, he told me to pick him up for my own band. I had him in the room and I went down to work here.
Highlands High School, there's no guest on the album because Jonathan's writing this album as one story from the beginning to the end, so it wouldn't make sense if somebody came in and guest appeared in the middle of the record or something. You know, it'd just be like, he's telling a story and all of a sudden there's a rap guest or something weird in there, it just wouldn't make sense. Not that we wouldn't like to, it just doesn't make sense for this record. And if we do, it's going to be a hit track. So there's not even any in mind right now.
We're trying to think of a name. This corn popped in my head and we'll... A corn roll. Fuck yeah.
Me, Head, and Monkey got together and we're looking for a drummer. I get this message on my machine. David's like fucking 13.
Hey, guys, looking for a drummer?
This little kid on my answer machine. We're like, called him back, went over his house. He was like so young, like, yeah, have his mom like drop him off at practice. It just clicked. He was good, man.
Check out the shot. Get the shot right here.
This time come closer to the people on the internet. Can you hear me talking?
One thing about James Monk Doggy Dog, he's all that.
Getty Friday Convention.
He ain't here, but he's all
Getty Friday Convention.
He's a band. Okay. He does all the drums, bass, guitar, vocal, all the shit.
Really? You got so many pieces of kit, you little munchkin. Isn't that very lovely? And you bring
Well, whoever cut it last is an interesting.
Sim, it was hot. You cut hot bread better than I did.
Right.
Alright. God, I want to fucking pour vodka in your eyes now.
Why?
Because
it's a funny one. It's not
funny. It's so
pretty late.
Breaking the law. We just took like a 15 mile an hour curve going.
Very late.
Yay.
Really. Be careful.
Sorry. I'm not sure I can be out to make friends.
Don't mind.
Yeah.
I bought my cigarettes.
You know?
I said I did.
That's what you wanted to do. Cool.
They're out the back though.
I said I'll think about it. I got back eventually. He wouldn't leave me alone. So I had the keys. And then he brought Keith out. You know what that's like. You know, out comes the bottle of Jack. And then the next thing you know, it's 2 days later, he's over at the house trying to find a place to order pizza at 5:30 in the morning. He's still drinking. So we decided, yeah.
I think Jack's a dog. It's more screwed up. Our generation and generation, the next generation from the 70s and 80s were making plays that we can come here as we're raising our kids. So, we're kind of screwed up. Matt came up with this, and he directed the video, and he came with that concept, and it shot really well. I just got to see the kids go through.
He sees from his soul. It's hard to find. Live shows are a priority. We like, you know, to let the fans hear it direct.
Brian, for your birthday, you get to see Lowrider.
Hey, hey,
where the fuck?
Hey, get your tone look on.
I can't right now.
That's your little something. Tony, I'm
clear. Hey, these are for fucking thickies.
It's scary because it's very honest. You know, the truth is scary. But I don't think we try to be very scary. I mean, it's a dark side of man, but I'm not scary like Manson, scary or stuff like that.
Fucking baddest producer.
Brings it out in me and the rest of the guys.
I gotta do it again. That's a
I what did you say? I'm deaf here. I'm dying.
You eat cheesesteaks.
Like, to me, it kind of means that it doesn't matter what your band's called. I grew up in Bakersfield, moved to Huntington Beach, made the band, played countless numbers of live shows. We're trying to do something that nobody else has really done, and which I think we have.
Yep, our whole band grew up in Bakersfield.
Our dads played together in bands.
Our dads grew up together and played together in bands.
Me and Brian were in Bakersfield. We went to this bar and the band was playing. We're like, what? You know, that's it. We were getting ready to leave. Just as we're walking out the door, John was the singer in that band. And we heard him sing, and me and Brian both turned into each other. Just our jaws just like, oh my God. And so we turned around and went back in and watched the whole set.
I didn't want to do it. I went to a psychic. She told me it was stupid if I didn't do it, so I went down and tried out.
We didn't have a PA for him, and I had to sing through a stereo with like a cheap mic. And just, we could barely hear him. And he started singing. And we all looked at each other. And just watching him just do that freak out thing where he's like, we just clicked. We just knew. Well, before the song was over, I cut off my finger. At the end of it, I cut it off. The doctor's like, you need to rehabilitate your finger somehow. You know, Johnny. Like, take up an instrument. I was like, how about
my
guitar?
God,
you know, I thought about that guitar being a
guitar.
Oh, that's perfect.
No.
You've been writing up for
like
2 years.
You've been
holding
it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure,
we didn't do nothing on the road or nothing. We just came back and like all the shit that we held back the whole time just flew out.
Oh, I'd like to say you all kick ass. And I'd like to ask my girlfriend to come out and take your clothes off for us all.
All right. Are you going to come out and take your clothes off for the Korn fans?
So I'm just copying something. You know all those things we downloaded via Napster? None of them will play anymore. The licenses have expired on them all because it was a trial, so it only worked whilst we had Napster working. Because we didn't actually pay for the music. If you're a proper Napster member, you pay like £10 a month or something. You can download as much as you want and you get the digital licenses for them. They're called DRMs or something. But if it just in the trial, you can download as much as you want in the 2 weeks and listen to it, and once the trial's up you can't listen to it anymore, they won't let you. So I'm probably just going to delete them all. So all that flying picket stuff you got, whatever it was. Sorry.
Okay.
Timothy.
When Jonathan Ross.
You heard things. Where are you going? No, don't, Polly, don't. Come back. Come back. Polly. Polly. Polly!
No, it's alright, I've come back.
Come back, don't do
I
that.
I wanted to cook chips as well, but I can't do
it. Do you want me to get you anything? You hungry?
I don't know if I am or not. You know, I just fancy them because I've had a few drinks.
No,
I'm going to go make a cup of chips. You want any chips?
Which is
what I have.
Yeah.
Following his lengthy departure from the crew owner, Barton retired the next year after revisiting his 1971 character, Clive, which was originally in the movie. He rang me up and said, well, I've written 6 episodes to go with the first one, and I've always thought it would make a good series, and like to do it, and it's just you and me and the other person.
You going to Uncle Arthur and Orly?
No, really? Who will tell you about my notice? As of this evening, I shall have to find a new position.
Oh, well, it's going up now.
And then he said, it's just like you want to tell you. At the end, we're going to get
a when Iris came out,
I'm going to go to the next one.
I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one.
No, actually what happened here is we traded from Dutch India from Fred Astaire.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. We're, you know, like totally all fucking Kind of fucking off, man. He calls me Jack off, man. What's going on, man? You got a question for the band?
More creative, it's next level. It's you tell everybody
through. So yeah, you know we did a Keel cover too. We did it with the Deftones. You know, actually Gino grabbed his ass, threw him in the car, brought him up to Malibu. Said, sing, motherfucker. Yeah, we used to do it live all the time, so we're just like, you know, fuck it, put it on the record. Anytime the Deftones would be in the same place.
You picked Joseph, a very straight-laced, tall, skinny one that was at the pub quiz.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He'd only been bowling once before. The first game he played when he bowled, he rolled one. Like lawn bowls, really slowly, 10 times slower than what I rolled them. But then the second game, he kind of got the idea that he actually had to put a bit more welly in it. It did a lot better the second go, but his claim was he was trying to work out the angle you had to hit them. Seriously, I've never seen anybody, but he was bowling slower than the little kids were next to us. Seriously, what happened? When they roll off most of the times, they'll roll back in and stuff because they're not straight, the names, if you roll up slowly. I didn't get a strike, though. I was the only person not to get a strike. But I didn't come last.
Oh. And it kicked in?
Hmm?
Pity. This is new for me, shouldn't it? I'm sorry about the noise. I need to hear it in the commission. Johnny Depp? I don't like Johnny Depp anymore.
To most people, Johnny Depp is George Young, as seen in the movie Blood. Lou Young is still very much alive, but banged up in a federal prison in New Jersey. After due negotiation, he was permitted to tell, but only by telephone, the story of how a small town boy introduced America, which favored illegal pastime.
What is this, Mark Twain said? I feel sorry for all the poor bastards that are staying from vice and then die.
Why are you looking at my fucked up body? Say something.
The story begins here, Manhattan Beach, California, 1967. An all-American middle-class college boy, Jimmy had even spent a brief time in the army before he was seduced by the California of skimpy bikinis, beach parties, and marijuana.
Where's my phone?
This little beach hamlet, located at LA Airport. We were like kids dropped into a candy store.
Young's journey to becoming public enemy number one got underway. He was selling larger and larger quantities of marijuana to local drug kingpin Richard Belier, who operated out of the back room of a hairdresser, the Honsorial Parlor. The only blow you're likely to find there now will come out of a hairdryer. But back then, the drug business was booming, and George was soon organizing his own flights to Mexico to buy his marijuana. However, in 1974, his long battle with the authorities began. He was caught, convicted, and put in a cell with a Colombian. In retrospect, this may have been something of a mistake.
I knew next to nothing about cocaine, and so I my partner, Carlos.
Carlos later was an up-and-coming drug smuggler and part of Colombia's notorious Medellin cartel. He and Jung worked out a plan where they would take Jung's marijuana plant and switch the cargo to the far more profitable cocaine. And their supplier? Pablo Escobar, the biggest drug dealer in South America and a cold-hearted killer to boot. Escobar knew America was where the big money could be made. He just needed someone who'd get his cocaine into the country. And that's where George came.
George is a